Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. Ty Hildenbrand here. You know, Dan Rubenstein, still somewhere out yonder, living the life in California at a wedding or something like that. He'll be back next week. We'll talk more to him then. In the meantime, as I said earlier, this is part two of the Wednesday podcast that I recorded. I thought I could make it all one. In reality, it ran far too long. I thought it might be best to split them up. So this is part two. If you listened to the first one, you know we talked to T. Kyle King. We talked about his book, Fighting Like Cats and Dogs, which describes the history of the Georgia-Clemson rivalry. We also talked about the 2013 installment of that rivalry and its significance to the college football landscape. This, though, is the emotional eating portion of the Solid Verbal. We had a few callers reference Tommy Rees. A few callers referenced Notre Dame football when we did the call-in show on Monday. You know what happens to me when we start talking Notre Dame. So I've called upon my good friend Mike Frank. He's from IrishSportsDaily.com. I've known Mike forever. We're going to preview the 2013 Notre Dame football season. I know some folks are tired of hearing about Notre Dame football on this show. I know it. We're going to make it worth your while if you want to stick around and hear more about it. But if you don't, that's why we made this a separate show. Again, Dan will be back at some point next week. If you'd like to interact, you can do so at solidverbal@gmail.com. Don't forget to tell your friends about the Facebook page and the Twitter accounts as well. Help us spread the word about the show. So without further ado, let's bring Mike Frank on. Let's talk some Notre Dame football. All right, and joining me now, very pleased to welcome back to the show after a long hiatus. It has been far too long. It is my good friend from Irish Sports Daily, Mr. Mike Frank. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, Ty. How are you?
When was the last time you were on this show? Do you remember?
You know, it's probably a couple of years, I think. I'm busy with my own personal show, and we usually run them on the same night. So it's kind of tough for you and I to hook up with these things. So I certainly understand, but I'm glad to be back on again.
All right, so listen. It is real popular among the internet trolls out there to say that Notre Dame was overrated last season. You know, I don't agree with that notion, but I understand the logic. All the wins weren't very palatable in some respects. What is your counterpoint to that type of argument? Because if I've heard it, for someone who runs a Notre Dame website, you have surely heard it. What is your counterpoint when you hear something like that?
Well, you know, I think it's really hard for any team to go 12-0. You know, Notre Dame played some very, very good football teams along the way and beat them. You know, a lot of them on the road, and that's no easy task to do. So, you know, I understand that Notre Dame did not look the best when it comes to the game that they played there for the national championship game, but I think that there are a lot of reasons for that. You know, Notre Dame was really struggling with offensive line depth at that point. And they absolutely just could not afford to lose anybody. So they weren't able to play physical football in practice during that time. They weren't able to hit, and I think it really showed, especially in the first half. You know, Notre Dame was not the same defense that everybody had seen so many times, you know, throughout the year. They just weren't near as physical. They seemed unsure. You know, and it was a very strange game, and I think a big part of that was the fact that they weren't able to actually hit in that month that they took off and actually be physical. And Once you play a team like Alabama, you can't show up like that. And I think if Brian Kelly had his choice to do it all over again, my guess is he'd probably risk the chance of getting somebody hurt because he saw the end result, and Notre Dame just was not physically ready to play.
Well, and they won a lot like LSU did, or does, let's say, present tense. They won ugly. They used defense to win a lot of these games. They didn't necessarily rely on offense. And I remember sitting in this chair watching some of those great LSU teams, ones that went on to win the national championship, saying there is no way this team is as good as advertised. But they did it time and time again. They won with special teams and defense. They created big plays when they had to. Now, I'm not saying last year's Notre Dame team was the same as any of those LSU teams. But there is a parallel there between winning in big, impressive fashion like Alabama did in the national championship versus the way LSU and essentially Notre Dame did last season. They won ugly.
I think that the thing that Notre Dame did was they protected their young quarterback. And by doing that, you know, I think it also somewhat stunted his growth because they put him in situations where he couldn't fail. And I think that Everett Golson did a fantastic job of leading it. I mean, not many first-year quarterbacks can lead you to a national championship
right.
game. I think that they did a great job of managing that situation, but I also think it kind of stunted his growth a little bit. You know, that works when you're playing Boston College, but when you go up against a great team, sooner or later your kid's got to make plays. And, you know, I think once Everett settled down a little bit in the second half, he played outstanding. And, you know, maybe had some of those things happened in the first half, we would have seen a little bit different game. I still think Alabama was 14 points better than Notre Dame on any day.
Just,
you know, I think that that's just a given. They were that much better than Notre Dame. But was it 28 points? I don't know. You know, I just think that Notre Dame had some bad bounces and, you know, some calls that didn't go their way in the beginning, and then I think they had a defense that was shell-shocked because they just weren't used to getting punched in the mouth. They hadn't been punched in the mouth for, you know, really 6 weeks. And so I think that those two things factored into, you know, the way they played a little bit. And I'm not saying that Alabama isn't a great team. They clearly were the better team,
yeah.
And I think anybody watching the game would certainly admit that, and even Brian Kelly would admit that. So, but at the end of the day, I just don't think it was as bad. I don't think that Alabama was that much better than Notre Dame, certainly not as much as the score showed. And, you know, I guess they'll get a chance to prove that again this year if they can make it back there, because sure looks like Alabama will be
there. Yeah, they're not going anywhere. All right,
that.
So be honest with me, on a scale from 1 to, I don't know, Jarius Jackson, how severe was the nervous tick you developed upon learning that Everett Golson was not going to be on this roster in 2013?
You know, at first I thought it was a major tragedy, and I still think it's going to impact Notre Dame more than people think, but I think it'll be more next year that it'll impact them. I think it'll certainly impact them this year. But, you know, you can look at a playbook and watch film all you want, but if you miss a whole year of football, you know, it takes a while for you to get that back. And so I think it's really going to stunt them in 2014. You know, they're going to have a quarterback who's going to have to basically learn how to play again. So, but for this season, I mean, it's certainly going to impact your team. But the difference I think that people don't realize is, you know, they've known this all through the summer. They've known this for quite a while, and that's allowed them to kind of set up their team,
right.
set up the offense, design, you know, ideas and play concepts around the type of quarterback that they'd have. This is a lot different than if, say, Everett Golson went into the Temple game and got hurt the first game, you know, and was out for the rest of the season.
Sure.
You know, the whole time you're preparing for something totally different, and now you have to switch gears. Now they can set up the offense and set up the plays and their concepts as to what they want to do based off of the talent that they have in Tommy Rees. And it is a different thing. Yeah, I think Tommy Rees was a pretty darn good quarterback who made a lot of big plays in a lot of crunch times, but he also made some mental mistakes and a lot of bad throws and poor decisions, you know, in the red zone and other places that
right.
really cost Notre Dame. If you limit his turnovers, you know, Notre Dame would have won certainly more games than they have.
Right.
He had a whole year to kind of sit, you know, think about things. He was a great teammate. He's a great leader. And, you know, I think he's just going to be that much further along in the offense. You can't do much about his athletic talent, but what you can do is better prepare him mentally. And, you know, he's a very seasoned quarterback.
Right,
he's a guy
right.
who's seen a lot and is a senior. So he should play as well as you know, a lot of senior quarterbacks throughout the country. And I
right.
think you'll see that with Tommy Rees. I think he's going to be better than people think.
Well, we know the rub on him, right? The rub is that he's got limited physical tools, but he does know the offense well. He, as you mentioned, seems to be a leader. Schematically, does he give Brian Kelly anything or something that maybe Kelly didn't have with Everett Golson? Is there an advantage of any kind that Kelly can exploit now that Reese is the guy instead of Golson?
Well, yeah, I think that there's a number of things. First of all, you talk leadership, and I think that's a big, big part of it. You know, I think Everett Golson wasn't much of a leader last year, and, you know, I think he was starting to become a leader this spring, but certainly did a non-leadership thing in getting expelled from school. So, you know, that I think just in leadership alone, you're going to have a big plus there. I think a lot of guys on this team greatly respect Tommy Reese, and you know, he basically took one for the team last year. A lot of guys would have taken their ball, went home and cried and transferred, but he didn't do that. You know, he said, hey, I love Notre Dame. I want to play here. I want to finish my career here. So
right.
I think a lot of people respect him for that. And the other thing is, I think Everett, for all the wonderful things that he did on the field, and there were plenty, and he kept getting better and better, yeah, I just don't think his mind was near as advanced, near as sharp, and couldn't think near as quick as what Tommy Reese can do. So while Everett may have the stronger arm, the more mobility, those types of things, I think Tommy's going to be able to see the field better, anticipate things more, read coverages better. And you know, I think that he's the kind of guy who can distribute the ball. You just got to give him some protection. And a lot of people looked at Tommy Reese and they remember Tommy Reese, you know, a couple years ago when he had really poor protection, and that really impacted his play because he isn't a mobile guy.
Right.
But I think this year Notre Dame's going to have much better pass protection than they had when he played the majority of his snaps. And I think him having more time in the pocket to kind of dissect things is really going to help and really, you know, push that offense along.
All right. Well, as you know, Golson intends to return in 2014. Can Brian Kelly now make that assumption that he's going to be on the roster? As you hear it reported, it sounds as if this is in concrete. He's going to be on the team in 2014, but can Kelly make that assumption, and is he making that assumption at this point?
Well, I think you have to make that assumption. And to be honest with you, I think it's pretty solid at this point.
Okay.
You know, I don't think that Everett's going anywhere. It doesn't look like he's planning to play a JUCO-type situation. I think what's going to happen is he's going to stay closer to Notre Dame. Not exactly sure where he's going to go to school, but I think they want him kind of close around the program so he can be around and you know, continue to learn and that type of thing. And if he was going to transfer, he'd do it now. I mean, there's no point in waiting at this point. You know, let's get into a system,
right,
and so you can at least use the fall to learn and get ready to play next year if you're going to transfer. So I think that there's really no question. The only question would be is if Everett Golson isn't academically eligible. I think that really is the only question mark at this point as to whether he's going to return or not.
So then what is the succession plan? Because you referenced how it might affect the Irish moving forward. You know, they've got Andrew Hendricks, who's still kind of hanging in limbo this year. They've got this young guy, Malik Zaire, who a lot of people are excited about. How does all of that now factor in both this year, then in 2014, 2015, and beyond?
Well, you know, it's kind of an interesting scenario because let's just say, for instance, Everett Golson had a really big year this year, which really possibly could have happened. You know, with guys like, you know, Robert Griffin, although he's not quite as fast, but, you know, some smaller type quarterbacks that are athletic and can throw the football, with the emergence of these players in the NFL, it's not inconceivable that you know, Everett Golson could have made a jump to the NFL. That would have opened some things up, you know, for Malik Zaire. Andrew Hendricks could have come back for certain and competed with Malik Zaire for the starting job. And now with Everett Golson coming back, you know, it's, does Andrew Hendricks want to come back? You know, he's a extremely smart kid who wants to be a doctor and will probably have lots of opportunities in medical school. He'll graduate. And so, you know, does he want to stick around and ride the pine with the possibility of playing, or does he want to just say, the heck with it, I'm going to go focus on my career and do that? So I think that impacts it a little bit. And then, of course, Malik Zaire was thinking, gosh, you know, if Everett may leave a little bit early, I have a great shot to play right away. And now I think it's pretty obvious that he's going to be back for 2014, and no matter what he does in 2014, you know, he's probably going to have to come back for 2015 as well. You know, just to prove that he's not a one-hit wonder.
Right, right.
You got size issues. You got, you know, he's just not the biggest guy. Not tall nor wide as far as weight goes.
Sure, and now you've got character issues too, right?
And that's the other thing. You throw that on top of it, yeah. And now you have a lot of question marks there that you just never know what's going to happen. So
great, I can't wait. So obviously, this all puts more pressure on the running back position group, because this was a question mark long before all this news about Golson and Tommy Rees and all that jazz ever broke. I guess the bright side is that you can live with inexperience at running back if you have some good options. But are these the right options, Mike, for this type of offense now that Notre Dame needs to run to support a guy like Tommy Rees as opposed to someone like Everett Golson? Can they run a power rushing game with the guys that are on this roster?
That's a very good question, Ty, and you know, it's one of those things that you just really don't know how to answer, because right now, if I look at the roster, I don't see a guy that I can point to. I'm actually writing a story for IrishSportsDaily.com right now, when you called, about this situation. You know, it's a very difficult situation for Notre Dame. They have George Atkinson III coming back, but he has never really proven that he can be a great inside zone runner.
Sure.
A lot of times he bounces everything outside. And, you know, I think to be an every down back and a guy who can carry the mail, you have to be able to show that you can run inside zone effectively and make decisions and good decisions in small spaces. And I've just never really seen that from George Atkinson. So then you have a bunch of kind of unknowns. You have Amir Carlisle, a great speed player who can't seem to stay healthy for Notre Dame. Do you want to, you know, take a small guy and start pounding him into the line of scrimmage over and over when you definitely need his speed for playmaking ability? So it wouldn't be a surprise to me to see Amir more play in a slot type of situation or line up in the backfield and maybe motion to the slot. I think that they're going to want to try and get the ball outside to him so he can make plays. So then you have another guy named Cam McDaniel, who is a very solid player, but he's just not very spectacular. And then a couple freshmen coming in. And I think the real key is a guy named Greg Bryant from Florida.
Sure.
He's a five-star player that came in. And, boy, you watch his film, and this kid can do everything. He's a great inside runner. He understands the zone concept. Great feet, great decision. Got speed. He can get outside and make things happen with his speed outside. And then the other thing, he's a great receiver out of the backfield. Better receiver, at least based off the films that I've seen, than anybody on Notre Dame's current roster right now, other than probably the other freshmen coming in, Tarian Folston. So he's got the ability to be a complete every down back. And I think the thing that Irish fans don't realize is how much or how important Theo Riddick was to Notre Dame's offense last year.
Sure.
He was just an outstanding workhorse. He was never anybody who was going to blow you away with speed, but an incredible inside, tough, physically, mentally tough runner who was probably the best receiver running back I've ever seen. A guy could catch anything and just amazing hands. And that's going to be very, very difficult to replace. And so I think Notre Dame's really going to have to hope that Greg Bryant is ready to play both, you know, mentally and physically. He's a big kid, so I think he'll be able to handle a lot of the pounding. But I'm not sure he's a guy who can carry the ball at this level, you know, 20, 25 times a game. You know, we'll have to see whether he has that kind of stamina to do that.
All right, one more question about the defense specifically. What concerns you? If you're splitting hairs with this defense, what concerns you the most? Will it be a better unit than it was last season, given all the guys they have coming back?
Another good question, Ty. I think the thing that concerns me the most is my unsung hero last year was a senior named Captain Lewis Moore.
Yep.
And that guy was as tough as you could possibly be against the run. He was just an immovable object. You just could not move him. And he really kind of cemented that defensive line last year, and that's why they were so effective in the red zone. teams, you know, could not score on him running the football, and he was a big reason why. Now they have a true sophomore who played a lot of time or a lot of minutes last year in Sheldon Day, but he's just not the same body type, and he's also not a fifth-year senior, so he doesn't have that man strength that you look for in those big defensive ends, guys that are just big and massive. And you know, I think a lot of guys go from boy strength to man strength, you know, usually by their third or fourth year in college. And Cap had that. You know, Sheldon Day probably doesn't have that. But what I will say is Sheldon Day is a mentally tough kid. He plays with great leverage, has excellent hands, and is certainly quicker than Kaepernick Lewis Moore. So you're going to gain something by playing Sheldon Day, but you probably lose a little bit. And my concern with the defense is if you're not as stout against the run, does that open some things up in the back end, you know, as far as some passing opportunities? Now, the way to neutralize that will certainly be a better pass rush. They have two pretty good pass rushers right now in Prince Shembo, who had 7.5 sacks last year, and Stephon Tuitt, who had 12. Both guys are going to be better this year, I really believe so, but they're going to need to be consistent and really show up in the big games, the games that matter, the Stanfords, the Oklahomas, the USCs, you know, Michigan State, Arizona State. Those are the games that those guys really need to step up because I don't think that Notre Dame will be as stout against the run against some of the very best teams. And if that's the case, you got to make some plays, and a better pass rush will certainly help. And you've got two veteran corners back there. Those guys have seen a lot, been through a war, and you know they should be ready to go.
All right, so here's what we're going to do to close this out, Mike. Again, Mike Frank, irisportsdaily.com. I have the schedule in front of me.
All right.
I want to go through this, and I want you to give me a scale of 1 to 10. We won't do the Jarius Jackson scale because that's just not fair. 1 to 10,
all right.
1 to 10 each game on this schedule. I want your level of confidence in Notre Dame winning. All right,
sure.
I'll read it off to you. First game of the year, home against Temple.
I'd say a 9.
That better be a 9. If that's not a 9, then something's wrong.
We're in trouble, absolutely.
The next week on the road at Michigan, night game.
I'm going to say 6. And the only reason I'm saying 6 is it's at home against Michigan. It's at Michigan. And the other thing is, you know, Greg Madison does a great job against Notre Dame. He just does. And that defense is going to be better. But I think in the end, the reason I think Notre Dame wins that game is I just think that Michigan's O-line is really going to struggle with a guy like Lewis Nix when they have to replace everybody inside there. I think that they're going to have real problems trying to handle him and Tuitt and Sheldon Day, you know, up front. And that will probably stall a lot of Michigan's offense. If you can't contain and neutralize those three, you're going to have a long day. So I give it a 6. You know, I think it's a 60-40 type thing for Notre Dame.
Okay.
And I think the difference will be turnovers, as it always is in that game.
All right. Next week on the road at Purdue, another night game, team with a new coach in Purdue.
You know, I got to give that, you know, at least a 7. I think that Purdue's got some talent, and I think this coach is going to do a pretty good job. But they lose a lot of guys, especially up front on defense, and I think Notre Dame's just going to run right over them.
Next week at home against Michigan State, a team that needs to improve from last season. They weren't as bad as the record indicated in many respects. The offense has to improve, and they're going to have their work cut out for them against Notre Dame's defense. But I do think this is a formidable Michigan State team this year.
I think they got a good defense, and that's the thing. They're going to really give Notre Dame fits with that. You know, Notre Dame's probably going to struggle to score 21 points out of that, so now it depends on, you know, whether or not they can hold Michigan State to under that. I'm going to give that a 6 as well. I think the Notre Dame's probably a 60% chance of winning that game. It's going to be a tough one just because they have such a great defense, and, you know, Notre Dame just doesn't play Michigan State well.
No, they don't. They don't.
So I got to give that a 6 as well.
Next week at home against Oklahoma.
I'm going to give that a 6. I'd maybe even think about a 7, and I know some people are going to laugh at that, but I just think that when you look at both teams, I know that Oklahoma has a lot of skill talent, and they got a great line coming back, but their strength rolls right into Notre Dame's strength, you know, when you talk about defensive line. And then you flip it to the other side, and I think their defense is not nearly as good as Notre Dame's. And I think that they're going to have some problems really handling Notre Dame. You know, I think Notre Dame will be able to run on them. And in the end, they also have a brand-new quarterback playing on the road and at Notre Dame Stadium. So I don't know. I give it a 6, you know, again.
I feel better about the Oklahoma game than I do Michigan State, to be perfectly honest with you.
I honestly do, too, and it's because I think that they have a weaker defense. And I think when Notre Dame plays a team with a weaker defense, they're going to have a much better chance than when they play a team who also has a great defense. That's where they're going to struggle, the Stanfords of the world. They're really going to struggle to win that game.
Here's a sneaky one the week after. So you've got a stretch where you've got Michigan State and Oklahoma, two big games at home, back-to-back weeks. Then you're on the road, neutral site, before a bye week, mind you, against Arizona State. I do not feel good about that game. I'm not saying Notre Dame loses, but I'm saying the atmosphere is such that I could see that game being very, very close.
I think a lot of people anticipate that, and I do as well. You know, again, I'd hate to say it again, but I think it's a 60-40 thing. I think the only way Notre Dame loses that game is if they come in banged up and not mentally prepared, and usually they don't do that. Everybody kept saying the same thing about Miami last year when Notre Dame had to travel from Miami or travel to Chicago to play Miami in a similar type game. And, oh, boy, they're going to be banged up. And Notre Dame just steamrolled them. You know, they were just ready to go. That's the one difference between, I think, Brian Kelly and all the other coaches that have coached here recently is he seems to get the teams ready to go mentally, you know, for these types of games. So I just, you know, I know Arizona State's got a lot of speed. They got a lot of great athletes. But can they play smash-mouth football? That's my question with them, and that's why I think Notre Dame wins this. Is I think Notre Dame can play smash-mouth football, and I think that they have a good defense. And while Arizona State will probably get some plays and score some points, I think that they're going to give up a number of points to Notre Dame as well. So I'll go 60 on that as well, or a 6, I guess.
All right. Bye week, and then home against USC. This game is different, Mike. It's different than it's been the last couple seasons. Matt Barkley's not there. A lot of pressure on Lane Kiffin this year to deliver, to take USC to the next level. I feel pretty good about this one, probably better than I have about a number of the other USC games that we've seen Notre Dame play in the past.
You know, I'm going to go a 5 here. I think this could go either way, and I'll tell you why. I remember a couple years ago when everybody was ready to run Lane Kiffin out, and you know, Notre Dame was playing pretty well in a very similar situation. They had a week off. All they had to do was come out, show, beat USC. Things were going to turn around. And then Lane Kiffin and his staff, who everybody thought were boobs, you know, basically came in and stuck it to Notre Dame, ran right down their throat, and really embarrassed Notre Dame. And I think that Lane Kiffin has some issues, certainly, there that are going to be tough to overcome, but he seems to relish this game and seems to really enjoy it. You could tell last year he did not like losing to Notre Dame at all.
No.
And to be honest, Notre Dame played really poorly in that game last year, and USC could have won with a guy starting for the very first time.
If Max Wittick doesn't throw 90% of his passes 12 feet in the air, there's a pretty good chance they beat Notre Dame there.
Yeah, Notre Dame played very poorly in that game, so... So that's why I got a 5 on this. I'm a little concerned, more concerned than I think most Irish fans because of that. I just remember how they came out and played, and you know, it seemed like their back was against the wall, and they came out, they did a much better job of coaching than Notre Dame did in that game, and it showed.
Lane Kiffin just feels like that sneaky type of, like, almost, I'm thinking back to, like, the pro wrestling days, the guy who goes under the ring to get the chair to knock you out when no one's looking.
Yeah.
That's Lane Kiffin.
It kind of reminds me of Rick Neuheisel and the fact that he just can never consistently do anything well, but he has that ability to just pull something out of his rear end now and again that just keeps you thinking, gosh, really, is this guy that bad of a coach, or, you know, or is he just actually, you know, a lot better coach who's improving? And so he reminds me a lot of Neuheisel in that way. And so we'll see if it ends the same way as it ended for Rick Neuheisel.
All right, so here's the next game. This game scares the crap out of me. After a bye week and then a big home game against USC, on the road at Air Force. Air Force off a bye. They run that quirky system. They'll have an extra week to prepare for Notre Dame. USC clearly means more to Notre Dame at that point in the season than almost any other game until you get to Stanford at the end of the year. So this is like your classic letdown spot for Notre Dame. Again, on the road, Air Force, you got to think it's going to be their Super Bowl. I would put this one at like a 3. And it's not because I feel that Air Force is the better team. It's just because there were plenty of those games last year, the BYU game, the Pitt game for Notre Dame, where their heads just weren't in it because they were coming off another big game.
That's a very good point, and I know a lot of people feel that way. I don't, because Notre Dame was able to win those games. You know, they knew what it took to win those games, and I really think the difference in why Notre Dame won those games versus in the years previously they lost them was they were in far superior physical condition than they have been in the past. So the fourth quarter comes around, and this is where Paul Longo, the strength coach, earns his money. You know, you may not play well, you may not look good doing it, but when it matters, can you finish the game out? And they were able to do that so many times last year, and so many of those players who did it last year were in those wars are back, and they understand what it takes to do to finish a game out. They're also going to be a year stronger and hopefully mentally tougher. So, I mean, I get it. I still think it's a 6. I don't think it's a 3. I think Notre Dame will win the game, but I agree. I think it could be one of those ugly games.
Yeah,
exactly. I just
exactly.
think that Notre Dame has the speed and discipline, you know, to handle any option team that's out there right now.
You would think, but your point is well taken. It's not a 3, but it's also not a 10.
No,
it's a 6.
Not.
A lot of these are 6s.
Least,
so.
It should at least be an 8 on any given day.
A home game, it should be an 8, but...
But it's not. It's a 6 for a lot of the reasons that you said.
All right. 4 more games on here. We'll try to move through them quickly.
Sure.
Home against Navy.
You know, again, you just got done playing one, and you're ready to play another.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a whole lot of love lost between these two teams or the coaching staff. You know, I think that if Notre Dame has a chance to stick it to Navy in any way they can, or at least this coaching staff, they're going to do it. So, I mean, I feel like this is a 7. I think Notre Dame will come out, especially if they beat Air Force. They'll come out and just trash Navy. And even if they lose the Air Force, they'll still come out and trash Navy. So I think it's at least a 7.
Next week on the road against Pitt.
Now, this is the game that scares me.
Is this your game? This is your...
This is my game.
Okay.
And the reason why is, say Notre Dame rolls through here with one loss. They've got a BCS game on the line against Stanford, who's certainly, at this point, their most heated rival. A lot of bad blood between those teams the last couple of, well, really 3 years. And Notre Dame, for whatever reason, just seems to take Pitt lightly, and they always do. And this is the perfect game for Pitt to come in and steal one from Notre Dame. You know, they almost did last year. They've done it a couple times previously in the last 2 times they played. And I think that Pitt's got a good coach. You know, they'll have to break in a new quarterback, and they've got some things to fix. But Pitt did a really good job of running on Notre Dame's defense and exposed some holes last year. And, you know, I think that guy understands how to attack Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's going to be both maybe looking a little past Pitt and not as focused. And this is a 6, maybe even a 5 for me.
I'm going to mark it down as a 5. I like that.
There you go. It does. It scares me. It really does.
All right. 2 games to close out the year. BYU at home and then Stanford on the road. The following week. So we just got done talking about Pitt. BYU was another game. Notre Dame, let's be honest, should have lost that game last year. Could have lost that game. So this is a team that on occasion has played Notre Dame pretty well. Let's start with BYU and then move to Stanford.
I think it's a misnomer that they should have lost. I think a lot of people look at that lost field goal, you know, at the end saying, how did this guy miss it? And then people forget that, you know, Notre Dame's kicker missed one shortly there before.
That's true.
So it wouldn't even been an issue had Notre Dame's kicker made it. So, I mean, that's kind of the thing that I think a lot of people think. It's obvious Notre Dame did not play well in that game. And it took Everett Golson to win it, you know. He came in and played absolutely great at the end, or I shouldn't say came in, but at the end he played very, very well. And they don't have Everett Golson to bail him out this year.
They don't have Golson, and just thinking back, I believe that was the game after the Oklahoma victory, right?
Sure, sure.
So, again, we're looking at a spot where Notre Dame's off a huge win. Maybe you could argue the biggest win in the better part of a decade for Notre Dame football.
Sure.
And now they've got to play BYU.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? They sleptwalked through the first three quarters of that game. Brian Kelly had no idea anything was wrong until halfway through the fourth quarter. So that was a bad situation for Notre Dame. And you'd have to think now they're coming off a bye. Before that, they've got the Pitt game. Granted, they have Stanford on deck, but I wouldn't expect that poor an effort again against BYU. Let's say.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is BYU is just not going to be as stout defensively as they were in the past. And I think that, you know, especially last year, they were very difficult defense to move the football on, as Notre Dame found out. So I don't think they're going to be as stout. So I give that a 6 at least. You know, I think Notre Dame should be able to move the ball and score pretty easily on them. I don't think they have too – I mean, their offense is starting to emerge. And they'll be a pretty good offensive team by the end of the season, I would assume, just based off of who they have returning and some of the players the young players they have that are starting to emerge. So, I think Notre Dame will come out of that with a win, but, you know, I'm not saying it's an 8 by any means.
Yeah. All right. Well, then there's the big one to close out the year on the road, Palo Alto against Stanford. You know, Stanford's going to be up for that one. Lost in close fashion to Notre Dame last season. Controversial call late in that game. Stanford's going to be loaded again this year. They're one of those teams, Mike. If you're putting together a short list for BCS contenders, Stanford's got to be on that list. So this is going to be a big one. How do you like the Irish on the road in Palo Alto?
Now I'm going to give this a 4, and it may even be a 3. I know a lot of Irish fans aren't going to like that, but the one thing Stanford has is they've got a great front seven, and they've got a great, probably I think the best offensive lineman or line in the country returning. I know Alabama certainly has a lot of great players, but they also have to replace a lot of great players. Stanford's got essentially everyone back, and so I don't care who you are. I could run for 1,500 yards behind that offensive line. That thing is going to be a beast. I don't think people realize how dominant they're going to be. Yes, I realize they lost a lot of great talent, you know, as far as skill players go. But, you know, I remember watching Lee Beckham, you know, many, many years ago, probably ran a 5-flat 40, but, you know, rushed for I don't even know how many yards behind Notre Dame's dominant offensive line. If you've got guys who can push people off the ball, you don't need to be that fast and that athletic. And they're going to have guys who can do that. I think that Notre Dame's going to have a real hard time scoring on them and also, you know, stopping the run. Stanford certainly has to replace some great players, but they've got some running backs. They've got a quarterback who's emerging and is mobile. So I think that's a 4 at best for Notre Dame. That doesn't mean they can't win it, and I think that they certainly can. But I would say because Stanford's a little more veteran and has a few more players returning than Notre Dame does in their lines, that I think that you got to give them the edge because it's on the road. You know, it's at their house, and both teams will be playing for, you know, hopefully a BCS bid, if not, you know, the championship game.
All right. So we're going a 3 or a 4 there in that Stanford game, if I hear you.
I'm going to go 4.
4, okay.
But it wouldn't be surprised if it was even harder than that.
Yeah, if I talk to you in mid-November, it might go down to a 1, depending on things go with Tommy Reese.
Yeah, it very well could, especially after I watch their offense line.
You're going to watch that.
Their offensive line is going to be just dominating.
You're going to watch Temple play against Tommy Reese, and that's going to go down maybe to like a 1 or a 2.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah.
No, you can't take all of my hope away after the first game. You can't do that to me, right?
Well, that's what South Florida did a couple of years ago, so why not?
Oh, man, you have to bring that one up. Oh,
I'm trying not to.
I swear that was the worst game I've ever seen.
That was a 7-hour game, you know, raining dogs and cats, lightning, delays.
The worst part about it is they'd go back in the locker room, and I was there with a bunch of Irish fans, And everybody's like, well, they got to wake up after this. I mean, you know, this is like starting the game over. It's like they got beat three different times. It was unbelievable how poor they played in that game.
Dane Crist never looked like he knew what was going on in that game. Like, he always had that deer in headlights look. It didn't matter what down. It didn't matter what the situation. Every single shot they showed of Dane Crist from that point forward. And I hated it because I loved Dane Crist as a Notre Dame fan. It was like he got hit by a stun grenade.
It was I don't know. That was the strangest thing. You know, he got his bell rung, and then next thing you know,
that was it.
He just never recovered, you know, ever, it seemed like. And so felt bad. He's a tremendous kid, and, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he were president of the United States someday. He's just that kind of a kid. But, you know, he just didn't ever materialize as a quarterback.
All right. Well, I'm sorry to open up old wounds, but...
That's all right, buddy. Anytime.
Sometimes that happens. So, all right. Again, Mike Frank, his website is Irish Sports Daily. Head on over to his website if you are interested in more Irish chat. Also, he does do a podcast every week. That is the Notre Dame Power Hour, which you can find off his website in addition to iTunes as well. Mike, it's been too long. We'll have to do this again at some point in the very near future. And I certainly appreciate all your time. We'll have to chat soon about the Irish.
Anytime, buddy. You can call me anytime, Ty.
All right. Big thanks again to my friend Mike Frank from IrishSportsDaily.com. Check out his podcast as well. It's the Irish Sports Daily Power Hour. You can find that on his site and on iTunes. That does it for the Solid Verbal this week. We'll be back next week, hopefully at full strength when Dan returns. In the meantime, send us an email, solidverbal@gmail.com. Hit up our Facebook page at facebook.com/solidverbal. Send us a tweet at solidverbal. That, again, is our handle. For Dan Rubenstein, somewhere out there in beautiful California. For myself, Ty, here in good old Allentown, PA. Thanks again for listening. We'll catch you all next week. In the meantime, stay solid.